What's going on, everyone, and welcome back to the Double M Show, episode 26. Man,
we're flying, man.
It's starting to get up there. Once you get into the 20s, Mike, that's when you can, you know, it starts looking official a little bit.
Facts.
Double M. This is Mr. Mike Nice to my left.
Would it be, baby?
Would it be, baby?
Nah. What it do, baby?
What it do? If y'all don't know what we talking about, there's this video going out right now. This lady, you know, she was trying to be slick, trying to, you know, try to get some cool points. And she messed up. What it do, baby? How do you mess that up?
She just didn't do her proper homework and research.
If Kawhi doesn't speak, the least you could do.
He don't speak much. But when he does, you got to get it right.
Board man gets paid, right? But this is, like I said, this is a Double M Show. We got a lot to talk about. Mike Nice over here. It's DJ Meese holding it down. No T-Mac this week. But this is episode 26 where the sports and the urban life collide. We talk about all different types of various topics, especially about what you guys want to talk about. So if you are watching live right now, type. Let us know what you're thinking. Let us know your thoughts. Ask us questions. We try to be as, you know, proactive as much as possible to get back to you guys. You got Mike Nice got the behind the scenes on right now on his IG live. That's 20 people, bro. You got 20 people watching.
You know I'm not that cool, Marv. I'm lucky to get three.
So, but one day, man, three going to turn to five.
But the day I'm waiting for is when I hit seven. Once I hit seven, I know I made it.
That's when you made it.
I know I made it.
So, Mike, can you do us the honors, brother, and let us know what is on the playlist tonight?
Tonight, on episode 26 of Double M, we're going to kick it off with Antonio Brown and this ongoing saga with him, the Oakland Raiders, and his issue with his helmet that's keeping him off the field. Obviously, he has other things going on with his feet and the frostbite. But this ongoing issue of him against the NFL and the helmet issue, the GM of the Oakland Raiders kind of gave him an ultimatum about being all in with the team or not all in or all out with the team. So we're going to touch on that. We also want to speak on recent comments that came out from a former NBA player. I think right now he's playing for the Big Three. His name is Royce White.
And we call him a former NBA player?
He played I don't even know if he played a game. I don't remember how long his career lasted, but he got drafted. You know, so he has that under his belt. But he made some comments about the reasons why Carmelo Anthony is not currently on an NBA roster. And some of it has to do with Carmelo Anthony's good friend, LeBron James. So we're going to dive into that some more. We also want to speak on Spider-Man. You know, Marvel, Sony have been working together for these last couple of Spider-Man movies. But for some reason, recent negotiations to have an ongoing partnership has fell through. And as of right now, we don't know the next time we're going to see another Spider-Man movie.
Oh, it's coming soon.
So
it'll come soon.
We're going to touch on that. And also, Marv and I, we've been doing some talking, the recent rise of a new chicken sandwich. Is that what it is?
There's some chicken beef, no pun intended, going on.
It's going to get interesting. Stay tuned for that, because when we talk about that, it's going to get a real interesting conversation. But anyways, yes, let's kick it off with Antonio Brown. Like I said, you know, he was acquired by the Oakland Raiders from the Pittsburgh Steelers. And, you know, ever since he's joined the team, a lot of excitement was there. You know, a new team. You know, this is probably one of, if not the best wide receiver in the league. Gets the, you know, change of scenery, new coach, new quarterback. But then as the offseason progressed, getting into training camp, Antonio Brown is a little bit somewhat been MIA when it comes to him and the Oakland Raiders. First, you hear about his feet and how he's dealing with frostbite.
Pictures are bad.
Yeah, pictures of his feet. Dealing with frostbite, keeping him off the field. Then you come to find out he has a grievance with the NFL over his helmet. And he at one point threatened to never play football again if the league doesn't allow him to wear his helmet. So just to update the situation, you know, he lost his hearing against the NFL. They told him, yeah, it's not happening. And he kind of said, all right, I'll comply, and I'll come back and just play.
And we thought, okay, finally things was kind of going to smooth out.
Once again, he filed yet another grievance that I think was reported recently. He filed yet another grievance with the NFL about this helmet situation again, even though he recently lost. Marv, I'm just so confused as to, honestly, what the hell is going through Antonio Brown's head? You have an opportunity to start fresh. All the beef that you had with Pittsburgh Steelers and Ben Roethlisberger and that organization, that's gone now. You get a chance to start fresh with a new team. And now before you even step on the field for a single play, a single down, you bring in so much drama to this new team with your name before the season even starts.
AB, you know, when these stories start to pile up, I seriously start to ask myself, Mike, is everything okay with him? not even trying to be funny. Like, seriously, mental-wise, like, is he all there? Because this is starting to get to the point where a lot of things don't make sense. We know that he's out with the frostbite. You know, he didn't wear the proper footing. Okay, things like that happen. The way he left Pittsburgh was very shaky. You know, he didn't show up, or he left during the last game of the last game of the season or yep. something like that. He left or he didn't show up for his teammates. So it looked like he quit. Prior to that, I mean, the only bad thing AB ever did was that locker room scandal when he had his iPhone out against, you know,
thanks,
our Patriots, of course. But AB's been a guy who's been flashy, but a superstar. And now when you think of AB, you're thinking of problems. You're thinking of issues. You know, you think this helmet thing is the most bizarre situation. Look, I get it. I've played football. You want their helmet to feel perfectly right. You don't like to switch it up. It could give you headaches. It's just, I understand all of that. But the NFL did everything right in this situation. They've been warned him. Ben warned every player, hey, this was going to happen. We remember Brady. He even switched up. They gave him a new helmet for like one game. Then the next time you saw
switch him, back,
that helmet
yeah.
was gone. But NFL caught up. You can't get grandfathered into that system. And with this, all of this that reminds me of, you know, if you're a sports person, you see like First Take, there's guys like Ryan Clark who comes in and starts attacking AB's name, like, yo, AB's not a good person. Or AB, once
former
he got
teammate.
His, yeah, former teammate. Once he got his money, he was never the same. And then you see stories like this. It's like, you're really going to put a helmet over your teammates, especially a new team where you can build that, you know, camaraderie. I can never say that word.
Camaraderie.
Camaraderie. Blah, blah. I could never say to build that, you know, core with your team. But it just doesn't happen. It makes me think, okay, back in Pittsburgh, I believe a lot of these things happened. But Pittsburgh was home. You know, he grew up in Pittsburgh. So Pittsburgh knew how to hide that under the media and put the, you know, shuffle those things so we couldn't hear it. As soon as this helmet thing came out, the media knew about it right away. Oakland doesn't know how to handle it. AB is not Oakland's own. You know what I'm saying? Pittsburgh took care of AB, so shows it's not always greener on the other side.
Yeah, it just... is like you said, it's a bizarre situation because he wanted to get out of Pittsburgh so bad. And you think a guy who wants to get out of a team.
Out of a great situation.
A great situation. Not like Pittsburgh. I mean, obviously, Pittsburgh's in an era right now where you just can't get over the Patriots. You know, right. They've had great teams, you know, a lot of good chances. But when it comes down to it, you know, this current era goes through the New England Patriots, and Pittsburgh just happens to be the team that can't get over the hump because they have had great teams. And, you know, leaving that situation because of everything that fell through with Ben Roethlisberger and the comments that came out and them going kind of back and forth, you get a chance to have a fresh start. You know, say what you want. I like John Gruden. I know he talks a lot. He's always running his mouth. He's pretty entertaining to me. I don't know if he's a great quarterback. I mean, sorry, great head coach. But I like...
As a person.
Yeah,
he's a great,
like John
great personality.
Gruden. Seems like he's a great coach to have. You know, Derek Carr, he had one season where he was looking like an MVP candidate. And every other season before and after that, he's just been an average Joe Schmo in the league. But either way, you bring Antonio Brown to your team, you add a whole new dynamic. Because like I said earlier, this is one of the top wide receivers in the game. Derek Carr just got to put the ball in a decent spot, and good things will happen when Antonio Brown touches the ball. But like I said before, a snap even happens in the regular season. Oakland has been in the media so much so much. And you'd already think they're going to have a lot of media attention because they're already starring in the Hard Knocks show.
Right.
The Hard Knocks goes behind the scenes, get the players and the coach and all that going on. They're in the media more because of just Antonio Brown and not even of things going on in Hard Knocks. I don't watch Hard Knocks. I couldn't tell you what goes on in Hard Knocks. Obviously, it's behind the scene with the team or whatever the case is. But Antonio Brown alone has brought so much extra to this team that obviously this year is going to be trying to be a step in the right direction. With John Gruden, his second year, Derek Carr, you're hoping that he can continue to find his footing and hopefully get back to that MVP caliber season that he had a few seasons ago. And then you add Antonio Brown to the mix. But right now, all the hype is not about what's to come on the football field. It's about what Antonio Brown is doing off the football field.
And what drives me crazy about this whole helmet situation is just, like, not showing up to practice.
Because
you know, we understand physically he can't do everything that he wants to do because of the foot injury. But not showing up to practice or ghosting the team or the team doesn't know where you are. Like, these are things that really happened. And it's crazy. You got Derek here. He's saying AB is being selfish, plain and simple. And is that's the rep you want to have? Is that the legacy, your football legacy? Yes, you are probably one of the greatest football players we've all laid eyes on. This guy is a magician on the field. We know all about it. Maybe top three that I've seen, wide receiver-wise. But we all know what happens, man. We saw T.O. Yeah. T.O. is one of the greatest. Should have been first ballot Hall of Famer without a doubt. And unfortunately, the way the NFL and the politics are, they mark things against you that they shouldn't, and when it should only just be play on the field. I mean, AB's leaving a legacy that's not favorable for him right now. We're not remembering all the highlights that AB does, all the great times and all the great things he's done for Pittsburgh. Now you start to remember, damn, AB's hasn't been the same these past couple years, man. The money's got to him, or this is how he really is, or people call him selfish. And that's not the legacy any person wants to leave on the field at all.
Yeah. And, I mean, I think it really got to a wild point where he really threatened to walk away from the game. That's when people, your teammates, fans, coaches, they really have to question, like, are you really – and when the GM came out and said it too, like, you either all in or all out. Because the fact that you threatening to walk away, you know, I can understand, like you said, Mario, you play football and you want your helmet to be right. And that goes for – you know, not just football, but any sport where you have to wear any kind of special uniform or cleats or shoes or whatever, you want things to fit right. No one will, basketball players don't want to wear a shoe that's too damn big and they flopping up and down the court. Like, you want things to feel right and work in your favor. But also, if you're a player, a part of this league, and a new rule comes out, you know, unfortunately, yeah, it may suck to you. Like, Brady had to suck it up. You know, he's playing with a new helmet or will be playing with a new helmet, whatever. Because at the end of the day, he sucked it up. I'm sure AB's not the only. Because when he came out about the helmet, I think he's saying it messes with his vision and it gets in the way of his eyesight. He's not the only wide receiver in the league that needs to switch helmets.
And there's many different variations of helmets that they could find for him to work it out. Work it out. Make it work. You're in a new situation. Why go through all of this? Okay, I would have understood if none of the news came out of him walking out of practice, him leaving, and it was just the news of, oh, he filed a grievance against, you know, the NFL.
But he's still at practice trying to put out work. Yeah.
Then it's okay. It's like, hey, it would have been like, damn, maybe he's taking it a little far. He wants to pop. But he's still at practice. He's still showing up. He's still being a good teammate. Cool. But when you find the grievance and you're making your team look bad, how do your teammates look at you? Like, come on, man.
You have beef against the NFL or you have beef against the NFL and your team? Oakland Raiders didn't do nothing to you.
Right.
Oakland Raiders,
it's not their rule.
Yeah. They're the ones putting the money in your pocket. They just want you to show up and be present. You know, even if you can't practice, you know, be a part of the team meetings. But you're so upset with the NFL not allowing you to wear a helmet that you want that you're just not going to be present at the team facility.
And Derek Carr needs you. The book is out on Derek Carr.
They need each other.
Like, there's one thing AB can get guaranteed. You're going to see at least 10 targets a game.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So make it work.
make it work because, you know, like I said, they both need each other. Derek Carr needs Antonio Brown to, you know, put up solid stats similar to he had probably a couple seasons ago. And Antonio Brown wants to kind of erase this offseason because he can completely erase this offseason if you go into the season, you show up, start complaining and being a baby and just produce. If he has a pretty solid season, no one will be talking about this past offseason anymore. He can easily erase everything that's went on this offseason. Because, you know, the helmet thing, once you put on the helmet and start playing, people won't care anymore. Your feet, you know, once his feet are all healed up, people won't talk about that anymore.
Derek's saying if he's good as he says he is, he'll be fine with any helmet.
That's what I've always thought from day one.
The thing is, never in the history of ever did anyone say, oh, man, he wasn't that good because of that helmet. That helmet really, you know, that helmet was the reason he just didn't take his career to the next level. Is that damn helmet. It's never happened. It's never happened. I tell you this, it will never happen.
Which makes me think, like, is the helmet situation just... It got to be something deeper than the helmet.
That's what you have to conclude, right?
It has to be something deeper than the helmet because I don't think Antonio Brown's making it seem like if he doesn't wear the helmet he wants, his whole career is going to go down the drain and he'll never be the same player again.
I mean, Mike, you've seen Like Mike.
I have.
What was his name? Cambridge?
Calvin Cambridge.
Calvin Cambridge, he didn't want to play that last game when he didn't have the Jordan sneakers. He didn't want to play, bro. Oh, my
goodness. Look.
Jerry Rice, Oakland, he might have his helmet or something. Maybe it's like, because I heard, this might be a rumor, but I read this from a source.
You compared the situation to a movie.
I read this from a source. Magical movie. He got his whole old helmet and painted it the Oakland Raiders color and tried to practice with it.
Who did?
AB.
When?
One in the practices. He tried to get his old helmet. And they was like, nah, bro, you can't use it. I'm just saying, maybe that helmet gave him a little extra juice.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make... You want to compare it to Like Mike, which is hilarious, but at the same time, it sounds so sad, but it sounds so true.
Why? How could you be so close to a helmet?
This man is hell-bent on getting a helmet where he's threatened to hang up his cleats for good. If I don't get my helmet, I will never play football again. Is that serious, AB? Is it that serious? You can't run up and you can't put your hands up and run up and down the football field because your helmet is that awkward to you?
Oh, Like Rice.
Marvel want to create a new movie.
Like Rice.
Like Rice.
And AB's just got to make one catch to win the game in the new helmet. Does he do it or not?
But, you know, movies got to have, you know, the old start and the climax. What happens? Is the helmet that he likes about to crack or something? The helmet cracks?
No, the helmet got taken away by the NFL.
And what powers does he lose?
His speed. You saw what happened to his foot?
Oh, my goodness.
He didn't be, the, his foot started to deteriorate already.
Look, AB need to get his ass on the football field. That's what it is.
I mean, Gruden, your guy, keeps saying good things.
I'm shocked. I think the GM had enough. He came out and was like, look, you either all in it. Gruden's been saying all the right things. Derek Carr,
you know
probably
how much
like.
Money they paid that man, Gruden better say the right
but
thing.
But the GM came out and was like, look, enough of this BS. Like, you either all in or all out, AB. I don't know what they mean by all out because if you don't, what they going to do? They going to release him? They going to trade him?
Maybe. Yeah.
Like you so upset about AB that you're gonna trade him? They need that man.
They need him bad. They need him bad. Great talent, but like I said, and I'll stick to it. I don't know if everything's okay right now with him.
It remains to be seen. I mean, you know, there's two preseason games left. Obviously, he's not gonna play in any of them. But they gotta get he. It's not even vague. I can't, because I say they, I'm talking about the Raiders. Raiders ain't doing anything. Raiders are just trying to prepare for the season. He, Antonio Brown, needs to get his stuff together. Yep. I'm going to believe that he loves the game of football. He cares about being out there and playing. He loves the sport. He's not going to let a helmet hold him back. NFL is not going to change their stance.
Mike,
NFL's not changing.
I'd be so shocked if this works in his favor. But we shall see, man. What's next on this playlist?
Next on the playlist.
Ooh.
So, Royce White. I think he was drafted.
You're jumping the gun. You're jumping the gun. Stick football. Stick to football.
Oh, yeah. Let me stick to football. You're right. So sorry. That's why you're here, Marv, to help put me back on track.
It's all right.
Appreciate you. The New England Patriots recently got a returning star. Star player, you know, obviously not star, but he's a great talent. He's a talented athlete. He's a talented wide receiver. Josh Gordon was reinstated by the NFL.
Josh Gordon is back.
A move that many people didn't expect or just didn't have an idea or clue on because they didn't know what could possibly happen in terms of, or what did possibly happen in terms of why he got suspended last season, ended up missing the last couple of games, all the postseason, missed the Super Bowl. Nobody knew what the reason was. To this day, Marv, we still don't exactly know.
It was marijuana.
The reason. You think
for
so?
For him to come back, it was marijuana.
Okay.
I think so.
Marv believes it's marijuana.
Because that man's had 4, 5, 6 chances at this point. For him to have come back, it couldn't have been anything too extreme. He violated his policy because with him, he can't get the same leeway as other players. I think he violated a marijuana policy, and they said, "Know what? You just gotta go. You just gotta go because you know that you can't." Mike, what are you doing with your live stream, Mike?
My phone's dying. I'm gonna keep my live stream up.
Or Derek said maybe liquor.
They're gonna suspend you for the rest of the season because you got faded one night.
But the thing with liquor, could do piss tests with liquor, I guess, right? I guess maybe.
Why would the NFL suspend him for the rest of the season?
I think Josh Gordon's thing is he can't do nothing.
He got to be straight edge.
Yeah, he has to be straight edge. If he violates any of those things at all, he gets cut. So I think it was something on the lower end.
Okay.
That's why they let him in. But yeah, like you said, we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. But whatever the case is or was, Josh Gordon got reinstated and can be back. And he's back with the Patriots. I think he's still unable to officially practice with them or play in a preseason game.
He can practice. He can practice. He just can't. He can't play the first preseason game.
Well, he was at practice this week. He went through walkthroughs and whatever, right, and stretching, but he wasn't able to practice.
Full practice.
Yeah, for whatever the reason was. But he's back. He's with the team. They welcome him back. He has his locker back, his old jersey, number 10 back. And on top of that, you know, Demaryius Thomas, a guy who had some great, great years with the Denver Broncos. You know, the Patriots picked him up. Obviously, he's trying to recover from an Achilles injury. But today, August 20th, it was the first time he practiced in full. You know, no longer unable to perform. You know, he's back, and he had a full practice today, I believe. So now let's look at this Patriots depth chart at wide receiver. Because Julian Edelman also returned. You know, he's cleared from his thumb injury. So that's three guys I just named who are, no,
Mike, what did I text? I was on vacation.
Very talented players.
But I text you guys something when I was on vacation about there's a world where Brady is looking at on the field, Julian Edelman on my left, Josh Gordon on my right, Demaryius Thomas at the wide, and possibly Harry or Myers on the other side as well.
Julian Edelman, Josh Gordon, Demaryius Thomas, N'Keal Harry, Jacoby Myers.
He's definitely making the team.
That's five guys.
And then
right
Berrios will be Berrios, Maurice Harris,
and then Cameron Meredith.
And those guys will be.
But let's just look at those five right there: Edelman, Gordon, Thomas, Harry, Myers. Patriots, throughout the course of Tom Brady's career, they've had a few seasons. Out of what, 20 seasons Brady's been there? 20 seasons. Patriots maybe had a real dominant wide receiving group, maybe like 4 or 5 years.
Okay, yeah. Like dominant.
Dominant, like, okay, we got some talent. The Patriots have some talent at wide receiver.
Oh, Dirk. Dorsett as well.
Dorsett, yes. Thank you, Dirk, for mentioning Dirk. That's how deep this depth chart is.
Sorry, Dorsett.
Someone's going to get cut. Myers isn't going anywhere. He's locked. Myers is locked.
Nikhil's locked.
Nikhil's locked. Cool. It's going to be between... I think they like Barrios, too, because they've been using Barrios a lot in punt
returns. He's fighting for his life, R. Kelly voice.
But, I mean, either way, this wide receiving depth chart is very deep. Very deep. And, you know, according to our guy, Travis Cactus Jack Scott, he believes that this might be the best team since 2007. They have the possibility, according to Travis Scott, of going 16-0 with how talented.
Slow down.
Patriots team. That's his words.
16-0 is extreme. Yes, I read what he says talking about the schedule is very light. But one thing different about this team than the 2017, Mike, Patriots defense is for real.
That is true.
This Patriots defense.
It was for real then, too.
2007, it was mostly. It didn't matter what the defense was. It didn't matter what the defense was in 2007. This 2019 team's defense is for real. But there's still a lot of question marks with these wide receivers. Like Gordon, what is he going to be like in his eighth season? Been in and out. Yes, he had a good rapport with Brady.
Will he play the full season?
Could he play the full season? Edelman, he's been amazing.
But he's getting older.
33 years old.
Demaryius Thomas.
Demaryius Thomas older. Might not even make the team. He's not a lock to make the team at all. So there's still a lot of question marks going into the season. The upside is crazy. The upside is crazy to the point you got Travis Scott saying 16-0. We know the upside.
Yeah.
But there's still a lot of question marks going on into this team. We're talking receivers only,
receivers,
by the way.
On paper, if you just take those guys that we named and say all of them stay healthy, like I said, Brady has one of the best receiving depth charts he's had throughout his career. And he can put up numbers at 42 years old. Because it's two things I've always said about Brady. You know, people want to talk about his age. Does he still have it? I think Brady, like I've always said, he stayed in relatively good shape. And if you give Brady two things, good protection in the pocket, because he's surgical in the pocket, good protection in the pocket and weapons to pass the ball to, Brady will be all right. People worry about Brady playing till 45. You know what? I think he can do it. His style of play. I'm not even talking about the options that he has. His style of play, he can play to 45 and possibly even if he wanted to.
Here we go.
It's possible because
say what you're going to say.
45 is the cap. We'll say 45. But I'm saying with Brady's style of play, say he got to 45, obviously he might not be putting up like 40-something touchdowns a year and, you know, pushing 5,000 yards. But his style of play, especially now with these last couple of years, that the Patriots have paid more attention to the run game. You know, getting Sony Michel. They drafted Damian Harris. James White is still good on his team. They have guys. They're implementing that more. You give Brady protection and weapons. The offensively, Patriots will still be solid for another several years, possibly.
And I agree with you. You know, we talked about Brady last year, and you know, statistically wise, he wasn't great. He was still clutch Brady, but we saw him, you know, dip a little bit. We saw his numbers dip. We saw his play. If you see the eye test, Brady made some boneheaded throws, some boneheaded moves. Like, what's going on? You can add that to age. Or my argument was weapons. He didn't have enough weapons. Gronk was not the same Gronk, or he wasn't playing. Edelman missed the first four games. Of course, Edelman was his, you know, his blanket. He always was able to throw it to him. Hogan was dookie.
Drafted that dude.
Dorsett is what Dorsett is. You know what you're gonna get out of. He wasn't gonna be the second coming of Brandon Cooks. He was reliable as could be, but that was pretty much his. Josh Gordon, it was great when we had him, but
So you talk about Brady's numbers dipping, and a lot of it, maybe age, whatever. But weapons. this year, easily, without even conversation, if everybody's healthy, light years better than the options you had last year. Obviously, nobody's like Rob Gronkowski. But now, even with Rob Gronkowski out the picture, we just named five guys that, if healthy, can rotate and be involved in the offense and make plays happen. You know, you have your deep threat. You have your slot guys. You know, you got guys with speed, good hands, quickness, strength. They got a little bit of everything. A little bit of everything. Oh, welcome back, Travis Scott, because you already know Marv loves Matthew Slater, Hall of Famer. And I ain't talking Patriots Hall of Fame either. He'll get that one easily. They'll get that one in his sleep.
You on vacation, huh? You on that other stuff
Matthew
today.
Matthew Slater is getting a gold jacket.
What'd you drink, bro? What'd you drink? Hennessy?
Matthew Slater is
Patron?
Getting a gold
you mix,
jacket.
You be mixing your drinks?
Yeah. I like to mix water with a little bit of lemon.
Yeah, lying ass. Don't ever talk Matthew Slater.
Matthew Slater's getting a gold jacket.
You know how many receivers we named? And you have the audacity.
I think I heard.
To say Matthew. The man doesn't even, in practice, he doesn't even do run wide receiver routes.
Does he even go to the wide receiver meetings?
He doesn't go to no wide receiver meetings. They just had to call him a wide receiver to give him a position.
I got
to
do the research, Bob. Continue talking. The man I need
does,
to know how many receptions that
the man
had.
Does
I think
stretches.
It's only one.
He does stretches. He does things with the special team. You think he runs routes? Matthew Slater is not running routes.
I need to know.
Oh my God!
How many
God.
Catches Matthew Slater has in his career?
So Derek brings up Patriots got a lot of big receivers, which is another thing that Brady hasn't had a lot. You're talking Demaryius Thomas. That's a big body.
Yep.
N'Keal Harry. That's a big body. Josh Gordon. Man, oh man. That is crazy. That Brady hasn't had options like that. And you're talking about Brady's at the age of 42. He's not someone who's as accurate as he once was. But he'll just throw it up there and for you to make a play if he trusts you. And that can be real huge. What are you about to tell me?
I don't mean to take away from that comment. But Matthew Slater.
Here we go.
In all his years with the Patriots, has one reception for 46 yards.
It was probably from Matt Castle or something.
It was 2011, bro. Come on. Brady was still playing.
46 yarder.
It must have been a blowout of a game.
It must have been like a screen pass or something that he just happened to just get wide. Oh, there's no way Brady threw it more than 20 yards. I don't believe it. Someone get me the tape.
Dirk said it. Matthew Slater is vital to the team.
Of course. Okay, Dirk.
He was huge in the Super Bowl. Between him and the punter, they just kicked to the
Dirk,
curb.
Dirk. So, and people who are new listening to this, because some of you guys are listening to Double M, don't know me and Mike do the Patriots post-game show. And this is where this renewed beef is coming from, that they wanted to bring it to Double M. Why did they want to bring it to Double M? I don't know. I have no problem with Matthew Slater. Mike thinks he's a Hall of Famer.
Matthew Slater is not
a Hall of Famer.
Is Matthew Slater a Hall of Famer?
For what?
Special teams is a huge part of the game, Marv.
Name me three special teams that are in the Hall of Fame.
Give me a second. Matthew Slater could possibly be one of the greatest special team players to ever play this game. On top of the fact that he has, three Super Bowl
You
rings?
Can't even say this with a straight face.
Say what? Matthew Slater, the Hall of Famer?
Look at you.
I'm laughing because you're laughing.
No. Don't do that. You cannot say with a straight face. Even Dirk said, call heads the last two play. Yeah, he's great. He's great. Head's been working in our favor.
Someone said Matthew Slater is the GOAT. The greatest special team player of all time. And when you go to Canton and you find that special teams wing, Dick, I'm telling you, in about 20 years, it's going to be renamed the Matthew Slater Wing. for special team players. And it's going to have all the great kickers in there, going to have all the great punters in there.
Derek's saying kickers are – I know kickers are special, and I know kickers make the Hall of Fame. There's probably like four, maybe three of them in the Hall of Fame. Not many kickers make the Hall of Fame, but you're going to tell me. You're going to tell me Matthew Slater is going to Canton. Y'all really having this conversation with me on Double M right now.
Matthew Slater is
going
to be –
Like you guys are really trying to pitch something to me.
And you know what they're going to say at the speech or whoever introduces him? They're going to say, like, his contributions to the team are so undervalued. He's so vital to this team with what he does. The punter don't matter. Nobody give a damn about what punters the Patriots have had. That's why they just released the dude. I don't even remember his name. They just released the punter. I'll get a speech for Matthew Slater. A stand-up. In front of everybody can, Matthew Slater's contributions on special teams, kick return, punt return, have been so vital to the New England Patriots dynasty. Dynasty. From the moment he joined the team. You know, he came in as a wide receiver, but he found his niche. He found his niche on special teams, finding his way also to become a captain. You're a captain on the New England Patriots. That's huge, Marv. That's huge. Wake your ass up. Saying sway in the morning. Wake your ass up in the morning.
You telling me. You are telling me with a straight face right now.
Locker room guy, too. Derek said it as well.
I'm done talking to Derek. I'm almost done talking to you, too. You're trying to tell me, without Matthew Slater, Patriots don't win the Seattle Seahawks Super Bowl.
Patriots might have lost.
They don't shut up. They don't win against Matthew Slater is the reason they came back against the Falcons. And then Matthew Slater is the reason why we beat the Rams.
Matthew Slater was huge.
Matthew Slater is the reason why they beat the Rams.
What the was Marcus Cannon the reason why they won the Super Bowl against
Matthew
the Falcons?
Matthew Slater did not play in any of those Super Bowls. Patriots lose?
When you say not play, like not on the team at all?
Sure.
It's like Derek said.
Mike, answer the question.
If they might not have his locker room presence to pep them up when they need it. It's a missing presence, Marv. Matthew Slater is
Matthew Slater, see, because now you guys are making me seem like I'm a Slater hater.
Hey, man, the viewers, the tuned in and listening, man, they're hearing what you're saying. You just fell asleep. Well, I praised one of the greatest Patriots of all time.
You just capped the whole speech. You don't believe in nothing Matthew Slater does.
You don't think I believe in Slater's Hall of Fame?
You don't. I know you don't.
That's crazy.
I know you don't. I know you don't believe it. You haven't said it with a straight face yet.
Because it's so mind-boggling and funny to me that you think Matthew Slater doesn't deserve all the credit he's gained over the years.
Stu, Derek's out here acting like calling heads is so spectacular.
He did almost mess up that one game.
Like no other player could have called heads.
You know, no other player could because Matthew Slater's the captain. The captain.
I'm done. Can we go back talking about the receivers? Like, all right. All right.
Listen.
Travis is asking, will you guys be doing post game this year? Please do. Know what, Travis?
Stay tuned, Travis.
We got something for you.
But yeah, going back to the receivers that the Patriots have, just to kind of bring it all back together. Very talented, most talented this team has had in years. And honestly, I think the Patriots finally get it in a sense where, hey, Brady is getting older. Let's give him great protection and let's give him good weapons. And, you know, obviously Isaiah Wynn got hurt, but they drafted him very high because they had high hopes for him.
He's getting first team reps now.
They also have Shaq Mason. I love Shaq Mason a lot. I think he's a great offensive lineman. Who's the other guy? Joe Tooney.
I like Tooney.
Patriots have a very solid offensive line, which is the reason why Sony Michel came in last season and had some success as a rookie. Patriots have a great offensive line that can only get better.
The question asking, can they put Harry in PUP, pup? I don't think his injury is as serious to put him in pup. I think he'll be fine. They probably won't play him anymore in the preseason. and he should
which
be
is a, sad. I wish they
be
did
go from there.
Even though I hate, I got a love hate relationship with preseason games, but that's a conversation for another day. But yeah, I think Harry. I haven't heard anything very serious or major about his injury. I think they're just being extra precautious with him because, you know, that's their top draft pick.
With Gordon and DT coming back, though, and if DT does make the team, we know Gordon, he's good luck if he stays. Oh, yeah. He stays on.
Is he the number two option?
Harry, yeah, of course.
Okay.
Harry's value does go down. You know, Harry's a guy you're looking at. Damn, they don't have Gordon. They don't have Gronk. We foresaw a bigger role. This is before we even knew Jacoby was going to be, you know, the unsung hero and come out of nowhere. So, you know, Harry has more time now to really develop himself into who he is. But will he even see as much targets? With now Brady having guys like Edelman, you know he's going to get at least 10 targets a game. We know how much Brady loves Gordon. We don't know the rapport with him and the DT, but like Derek was saying, you know, these are big receivers that are going to be bullying the DBs throughout.
And I mean, not saying that Gronk ate up a lot of targets last year, but those targets now need to be spread out. Gronk is not there to take all of that
course.
Away.
Yep.
So, you know, there's going to be games where, and the thing about Brady, yes, Edelman is his top guy. We all know that. But I do feel out throughout the course of the season, you might see other random guys eat. Teams are going to try to take away Edelman. But then some teams are like, damn, man, we want to take away Gordon.
But have we ever seen anyone really take out Edelman?
You can't. Like, but teams will try to lock in on it, for sure.
If anything, when you got guys like DT, Gordon out there, Edelman might just, it just suits Edelman's game even better, just playing in the slot.
I just can't wait to see them pull out Edelman, Demaryius Thomas, Harry, and Gordon all lined up and just say, hey, y'all, go vertical. We need something down the field here. Like, I need one of y'all to get open, and Brady going to let it go. And one of those guys make something happen. It's going to be beautiful to see, man.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see who gets cut. We're going to, you know. There's so much talent on this team. There's going to be names that, even on the defensive side, there's going to be names that, damn, they had to let this guy go. Or, you know, offense, they got to let this man go, put him in the practice squad, and things like that. I mean, they wasted no time with Edlin. They got rid of him real quick.
They already knew that was, yeah.
But it's going to, you know, the receivers, they're on the hot seat. Every single one of them, except the ones we said got a lock. There's no guarantee.
I mean, I think they'll hold a decent amount of receivers, though. I do feel as if Hoyer gets cut.
Let's transition to that. Are they keeping three quarterbacks?
No, I think there's no purpose for Hoyer. There's no. I mean, yeah, you want to keep him for veteran leadership to maybe help Coach Stidham on the side, but a conversation that we had recently on Roundtable, do we really think Stidham is the future? If you're going to hold on to Stidham, you know, we'll see how that goes. But I think Hoyer's out the picture. You know, he's had a great run. You know, yeah, Patriots ain't wasting no time cutting people. They already cut the punter. They already cut a receiver, Iman.
No, but he asked to be released.
Because he knew.
Oh, Gordon's coming back?
Gordon's back? That probably went to him and said, hey, we're going to need your locker.
Yeah.
He said, what? I'm out. But, yeah, I feel as Hoyer might be gone, and Patriots might hold on to extra receiver because something we talked about earlier, you don't know if Gordon can hang around for the full season. Edelman's older. DT's trying to come back. Demaryius Thomas trying to come back from injury. You have to have extra bodies just in case.
But, you know, we do got to move on. We don't talk Patriots much on Double M, so it's always a pleasure. You know, like you got guys talking about the defensive side.
We'll have more conversations.
We'll definitely, you know, try to sprinkle in some Patriots talk on Double M. But if not, if you want to hear more of us on Patriots talk, you know, here on CLNS, we do have the Patriots Roundtable. Catch us there as well. And then when the season starts, you may see more of us as well. So
absolutely.
Don't even worry about it. Mike, what is next on the playlist? We got to keep it going, man.
Now, I know I kind of jumped the gun earlier, but we want to talk about Royce White. Royce White, a former NBA player. I believe he was drafted by the Houston Rockets. I believe so. But he is currently playing for the Big Three. His NBA career didn't last long because he was dealing with some anxiety issues and maybe a little bit of mental health issues, if I remember correctly. Something that, when he first came into the league, wasn't really talked about and dealt with by the league then, but now they've kind of made taken steps to kind of address that with players. So it's a different time now. But either way, Royce White currently plays for the Big Three, which, you know, came about through Ice Cube. And he came out with some comments when asked about Carmelo, which is very random to me why they were asking him about Melo. But either way, you know, he feels as if Carmelo is being blackballed by the league. And on top of that, he questioned why Carmelo Anthony's good friend in the league or outside of the league, whatever, brothers, LeBron James, who Royce White claimed, you know, walks around as if he's the face of the NBA. How come he can't get Carmelo Anthony to come play on the Lakers and they instead go out and sign a guy like Jared Dudley over possibly bringing in Carmelo Anthony? And the clip ended with him saying something along the lines of, if you think Jared Dudley can hold Carmelo Anthony's jock strap, he'll slap you. So the question, you know, about this topic that we really want to kind of dive into is it really LeBron who has the pull to get Carmelo Anthony to the Lakers? Because they're such good friends. LeBron's, you know, face of the league, has a lot to say, supposedly. How come Carmelo's not a Los Angeles Laker? I guess that's what it boils down to. If LeBron is there, how come Carmelo's not there with his boy?
Right, and listen, everyone knows Jared Dudley, Carmelo Anthony. There's no competition. Absolutely. Obviously, Melo is a better basketball player than Jared Dudley. Boom, we'll get that out the way. Jared Dudley knows his role. He's been known his role since he was a rookie. He was never going to be no type of starter dropping 20 points a game, blah, blah. Jared Dudley is a Matthew Slater. He's a locker room guy.
Oh, my gosh. Do not compare. That's so disrespectful to Slater, bro. I knew you didn't like Matthew Slater.
I'm kidding. I knew you didn't like Slater. Locker room guy. Didn't y'all call him a locker room guy?
Nah.
Jared Dudley's a locker room guy.
Get it
guy.
Right.
Sorry. I was kidding. But Jared Dudley's a locker room guy. Obviously, boom. But to say, it sounded like a lot of hate from Royce when I heard the video. He clearly has a problem with LeBron. One. Two. If you guys remember the first take interview with Carmelo and Stephen A., Melo pretty much flat out said it. He couldn't say too much because he's still trying to get into the league. But it's like, it's deeper than basketball. He is getting blackballed because of the perception of Melo not wanting to take a lesser role or not being able to accept a lesser role. You don't think LeBron, he's been in this going into his second year, try to pitch Melo to the Lakers? I find that hard to believe. These guys are best friends. CP did it. He went to Houston. CP's his boy, and they still cut him. They still cut him, and to the point Melo had to look at CP's face and like, yo, did you have anything to do with this, or did you know anything about it? So I know LeBron has tried to get his boy there, and at the end of the day, as powerful as LeBron is, he's just an employee for the Lakers. He can't say, I want Melo here.
I don't know, man. Maybe LeBron's dapping Melo up like, yeah, cool. But once they get to the facility, and maybe the team is like, I mean, that's your boy. Do you want Melo here? LeBron probably could say to Rob Pelinka, whoever, like, look, man, I don't want Melo and his – nah. Maybe he don't – maybe LeBron don't want
to
play with
Melo. They've come out and said they've always wanted to play together.
Man.
So you're saying LeBron's lying?
Maybe LeBron ain't being 100%, man.
Why do you say that, though? What has given you the reason to say that?
Melo should be a Los Angeles Laker.
But you're not answering my question. What has given you the reason that you think LeBron's lying?
Because if he wasn't lying, he'd be a Laker.
That doesn't make sense.
I don't know. It's just weird to me. It's whether what politics, whatever. I don't know.
Melo should be in the NBA.
Melo should be in the NBA. But I feel like automatically with the way the league is set up now, where teams, players is teaming up to go wherever and do this and that. I think Melo should be in the league. Yes. But it should be an easy pickup for him to go to the Lakers. I personally do believe LeBron James single-handedly, but last year, that Lakers team, I've read so many articles from different, you know, reporters and journalists. LeBron James has such a huge hand in building that team. Between all the players they signed, they said literally.
And LeBron, how did that team turn out?
sucked. But but people say the team wasn't built right. But some people also argue that, well, LeBron missed a good amount of the season, which, because I mean, the Lakers started off half decent. I mean, they weren't blowing teams out or anything, but they were half decent.
They
to
still
start
didn't
the
have no shooters or anything like
that. The team went downhill, but right. LeBron James had the power to pull that, to pull it all together. He built that team. And I don't think, because last year wasn't a success, LeBron James maybe lost power. Now they're looking at, well, we're not going to listen to anything you say, LeBron, now. Even because they went out and got Anthony Davis. That's LeBron's boy, and the whole setup.
But that's a smart basketball move. You need to get Anthony Davis. I think it's too much of a big reach to say LeBron doesn't want to play with Melo. That's why LeBron is not. He's out there working out with him, and then behind his back is saying, "Yo, I don't want him to be here." That's way too shady.
Maybe LeBron is telling Melo, like, "Look, I want you in the league, bro. I hope it all works, but maybe the Lakers are not the best option for you." Because maybe Melo went on First Take, and you could see it in his eyes. Melo don't really want to say, "I want to take a left." Maybe yeah. Melo really, deep down inside and behind closed doors and not to the media, thinks he could go on a team and be, you know, 20-point scorer.
And that's to Melo's I can't even speak today.
That's his
detriment.
Downfall.
That's to his detriment. If that's the case, you got Scott asking, "Do y'all think Melo is going to be signed anyway by the season starts?" And if so, where? I honestly hope so. Like, I want him to be signed by a team.
Lakers or Oklahoma. Ah,
it's looking
tough to go back to Oklahoma.
It's looking really rough for Melo right now. I don't know what he can do. I really don't know what he can do. And he needs to be signed by an NBA team.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead.
I think maybe he should have took a better approach in that First Take interview. I mean, because like I just said, you could see it and kind of hear it in what he was saying. He wasn't really fully willing to excel. He was saying, "I'll go to the team and you kind of do whatever they need." But I think if he more so came out and just was like, "Look, you know, at this stage in my career, I really just want to be, you know, a veteran leader to help
young
guys."
He's not ready.
If he would have came out and said something like that, like, "I don't need to be, you know, 30 minutes a game. Like, I just want to be a veteran leader on a team, you know, something similar to Vince Carter." I don't know, something.
Yeah.
If he would have came out and said that interview or whatever time he gets asked questions by the media, if he come out and says stuff like that, I think teams will take another look at him.
There was two routes Melo could go. He could have went the AI route, or he could have went the Vince Carter route. AI, we know what happened. Refused to not be a starter. Went to Memphis, didn't work out. Then went to Philadelphia to end his career. It still was a problem. Fade got phased out the league. He went to like play for China or something for like a year. We forget all about that. Phased out. Thing about difference between that is AI was a freaking legend beyond basketball. Carmelo's a legend just for basketball. So we forget how bad AI's career ended. Or you could have went the Vince Carter route. You think by the age of 32, Vince Carter didn't want to continue starting and score 20 points a game like he was doing, but he understood where the league was going. He was an older guy. He had a lot of injuries and said, "Okay, I'm going to take a step back, come off the bench." And his career prolonged. This is a guy we didn't even know if his career would last this long. We could have never, 10 years ago, you couldn't imagine Vince Carter was going to play till he was 40, especially with all the injuries and all the things that he went through. But he took a lesser role. And now look how we think about Vince Carter. We remember his legendary status when he was with Toronto and New Jersey Nets. And now we remember him now how gracefully he's leaving the NBA as being that veteran guy. And that's what Melo should have done. He should have took that approach. But it's hard. It's a big ego hit. And you see First Take, he's saying the right things, but he's shaking his head. Yeah. He's shaking his head no. Yeah. He's like, yeah, I'll take a backup role if need be, but it hurts him to say that.
The way you just described it is perfect in terms of taking a role, or you could take the AI route or you could take the Vince Carter route. I think another thing that played a part in it, you know, Carmelo Anthony, his boys are all balling in the league still.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so if you look at Wade, Wade, you know, obviously went out kind of on a low note. He wasn't superstar. He was, but CP3 went healthy. Still a great, great point guard. You got, who else am I thinking about? LeBron James still playing at the top of his game. So these guys who are Carmelo's boys, Carmelo's looking at them like, damn, I still want to be the leader, the face of a team, leading the team, dropping 20-something points, playing 30-something minutes. And it's not going to be that for Melo. His banana boat crew, whatever you want to call it, working out in the gym. LeBron going to play 30-something minutes a game next year. CP3 going to play 30-something minutes a game. And CP3 is older than Melo, I believe. Or maybe not. I'm not too sure. They're all around the same age, mid-30s. But it's just not that for CP. For Carmelo. Either way, it might be a wrap on his career, man. Unfortunately.
And, you know, we hope to see. I think one more team will give Melo a shot.
I hope so, man. I really do.
We got comments here. What we got here? Slater. Okay, I'm not reading that comment. Scott saying he thinks he Lakers or Brooklyn. We saw Brooklyn, you know, Kyrie. Kyrie was working out with him and stuff, and he was working out with the Nets players or something like that. So maybe you hope there's something within that. But who knows?